Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and tune in. And everywhere else that you can hear this thing, you can hear it on our website, live stream of the Phil Hendry Show on our website, philhendryshow.com. Steve Bozell going to be with us here this hour to talk about the Super Bowl. Thank you very much, Vernon Dozier, for joining us. I'm sorry that there was a misunderstanding there with his wife, Kimberly, but that's kind of the way it goes on our show.
Well, you know, I don't think you did anything wrong. If anything, I think Vernon's a little bent.
Wipes it up.
Well, I don't think you have your wife doing sound effects. I thought it was very unclear.
Yes, having your wife come in and giving the sound effect for a man's stare, I think the audience, it was lost on the audience.
It was weird, yeah, it was weird. But, I mean, the point that he was trying to make, which I understood perfectly well without his wife coming in and going, ooh, whatever it was she was doing.
No, it's good. She's doing a science fiction.
Yeah, I know, bud. She was doing the science fiction sound effect, you mean?
Yeah, she was going, ooh.
Oh, baby. Bud, you don't do that good at all. You don't do that good at all. You don't do that good at all.
Okay, we got that, General.
It was very bad what you just did.
You do better?
Could I what?
Can you do better?
You want to try and do better, General?
I could go better than I could go, ooh, ooh, ooh. Is that it?
No, General, that's not. Bud did it better than you.
Okay, well, that's great. Now that we know who does it better. And the other thing that I think happens to a lot of guys where they get a little touchy about the wife, I didn't say anything about his wife having sex with a robot. That was not, you know.
Well, ever since you had the conversation about clickers and the humanoids and the idea of relations, carnal or otherwise, with a clicker, if you will, or a humanoid.
And what is a clicker?
Well, it's not considered very polite.
It's a word from a movie. Are you guys nuts or something? It's an old movie. It's a 1962 movie. Okay, and we were touting it, and clicker is, in the film, the word clicker is quite obviously an allegory to the N-word in contemporary society. What they were doing is they were painting the picture of a futuristic society where robots are used to do the bidding of humans. And humans are even having sex with them. This one guy's sister is living with one.
And they call that being in rapport, correct?
What? Being in rapport, but it's
called, yeah, being in rapport. And the one guy, Cragen, who is with the...
No, I'm not trying to be a smartass. You said Cragen.
Yeah, that was the name of the guy, Cragen.
So is he supposedly the descendant of the auto parts people, or is that...
I don't think so, no.
No, that's no such... No. When the movie was made, I don't think Craig and Auto Parts even existed.
But he could be the descendant of those people.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, fine.
Well, why are you giving me that look, Phil?
Okay, so maybe they had a guy named Rockefeller, too, and they were all descendants. I don't know, you know. In any event, this guy Cragen or Crager or whatever the hell his name was.
Bud, I'm not kidding. I thought it was Crevice, but I know it's not.
No, it wasn't Crevice, bud. You just like getting that word in. Just like butt cheek, like Beavis said in the Beavis and Butthead movie. You remember that? Never mind. So this order of flesh and blood, these cats don't like the clickers, as they call them, and so they go around trying to kick the crap out of the clickers and beat them up and drag them out of bedrooms. I mean, it makes me laugh thinking that the order of flesh and... Why isn't anybody laughing?
I don't know. I'm just...
Phil, you're worrying us.
I look up and everybody's staring at me like I got a disease or something. I'm telling you, it's funny. Anyway, you ask me a question, I'm giving you the answer.
All right.
So Steve Bozell comes on here this hour to discuss with us the Super Bowl. And Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell will be giving you our exclusive Phil Hendry Show commentary of the Super Bowl. Join the guys at game time. I don't know when the game is. We can look it up. I did have the NFL up online here a moment ago. Maybe, Bud, you can... double check. I do know that the Puppy Bowl is at 3. And the reason why I bring up the Puppy Bowl is I was, I know that Steve has got a real problem with that. He thinks that the Puppy Bowl, having the guts, having the sheer audacity to go up against the Super Bowl, is a real low-life move. He thinks it's a real degenerate move.
Why would it be degenerate to have the cute little puppies on?
Because he thinks that it's rude for the Puppy Bowl to... think they're going to compete with the... See, a few of us like both. I like the Super Bowl. I also want to see the Puppy Bowl. Why am I not allowed to enjoy, without any prejudice, both games?
Well, Phil, you'll have to make a decision. It's either football or the Puppy Bowl, I guess.
Yeah, see, and I think that that's wrong. The Super Bowl kicks off at 3:30. Is that right, bud?
Yeah, 3:30 Pacific time, or I think, or maybe Eastern.
No, it's got to be 3:30 Pacific. Got to be 3:30. It's got to be 6:30 Eastern, because they want the primetime thing. They want to have the whole day build up. You know, they want to get the top. They want to get the top audience for the dollar. The Puppy Bowl rolls at 3, so, you know.
But I don't know why everybody's talking about the Puppy Bowl. I mean, the only people watch the Puppy Bowl besides you, Mr. Everett, are women, you know.
Well, there's guys that watch it, too. What are you, nuts or something? There's guys that watch it because their wives and girlfriends want them to watch it. The only people are women.
Well, I'm not watching any Puppy Bowl. My wife will not get me to watch a Puppy Bowl, and that's all there is to it. That's final. I'll watch the football game, or I'll take a nap, or I'll go out and walk, or I'll just throw bread at ducks. Generally, what I do on a Sunday afternoon is toss bread at a duck.
You toss bread at ducks?
Yes. I go down to West Lake, or one of the beautiful lakes that we have here, and I'll toss bread at a duck absentmindedly and smile at little children. It makes a few people nervous, but...
Well, you shouldn't. Are you there by yourself?
Yes. So this year I'm taking my daughter and my wife with me, so I don't look like that much of a creep, but...
Well, I don't think that's right that you look that as a... You see, you're tossing...
Well, I'm tossing bread at ducks, and I smile at little kids, and that tore it. So now I'm going to bring my wife so no one thinks I'm some kind of a low-life creep.
So here we have a retired United States Army general who can't even go out and toss bread at a duck without someone thinking he's a low-life creep.
Yeah, because you smile at a little tiny kid with a drool.
It's not drool. It's just that foam collects at the edge of my mouth.
Why?
I don't know. It's unconscious.
Well, that's going to do it, General. I mean, I'm sure you've figured that out.
Well, yes, I figured it out. They said, look, old man, if you wouldn't mind, just move on. And I said, why? And they said, because you've got foam at the corner of your mouth. You just bother us.
Do you? Okay.
Don't look. I'm not a pervert because I happen to have excess saliva.
No, you're not a pervert. I just wondered why that would happen.
Yeah, you will.
Don't say it, Dickman, because it'll be the last thing that you ever... It'll be what you leave mankind. There'll be nothing after that.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to take our break. We'll have Steve Bozell coming up here as we discuss the Super Bowl and what's in store or not, as the case may be, coming up on Sunday. And we will have the commentary for you, Phil Hendry Show commentary here on The Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com on Phil TV. Phil TV. Until then, stick around. Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman next on the Broncos and the Seahawks. Hello, Phil Hendry Show. There we go.
Oh, I love this. This is Lou Graham, and that was yesterday.
Oh, man. All right, anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and it is philhendryshow.com. Steve Bozell on the phone with us, and we're going to talk about the Super Bowl, man. I'm kidding. I don't mean Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. And, of course, the Super Bowl with all of the attendant drama and all of the marvelous dramatics. Not just the game itself, but it's always some other thing that's going on. And, Steve, you've got news of that other thing?
Well, Phil, you know, and I think I told Bud about this, that the NFL is going to block mobile video streaming at the Super Bowl.
They're going to block mobile video streaming at the NFL at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, at the Super Bowl game. And the stadiums, you know, have boosted cellular and Wi-Fi in recent times. But Super Bowl between the Broncos and Seahawks is going to be streamed by NFL.com and Fox Sports. But both of those sources will be blocked on the Wi-Fi and the cellular network at the MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. According to Michelle McKenna Doyle, who is the NFL CIO, in a phone interview to NFL.com and Fox Sports, blocks will be implemented both for mobile apps and for the web browser. Now, the decision stems from last year's Super Bowl when streaming was initially allowed, but eventually blocked when it took up too much bandwidth. According to her, we blocked it last year, but we did it on the fly. We started having some challenges. This year we plan just go ahead and we're going to block, and you can't do nothing about it, you know. He said that...
What'd they got to do that for?
Because they don't have no bandwidth, you know.
Well, they're saying because the bandwidth... I wonder if it's to ensure the exclusivity of both the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I don't know what any of that means.
What I'm saying is that they give the rights to the video, they give the rights to the game to Fox Sports, to the NFL Network, obviously, and to whoever it is that has the legal rights to the game. People sitting in the stadium and streaming this for their cell phones and delivering it to people outside the stadium may not be exactly what they want.
That makes a lot of sense to me, because it sounds as if the NFL is claiming they simply don't have the infrastructure, and I think that might be a little disingenuous.
Well, again, I don't know any of what that means.
Well, why don't you understand what that means?
Because I don't know what it means.
It doesn't matter. Go ahead and read.
Well, what I've got here is the NFL is providing a Super Bowl app to attendees with an event guide and exclusive content, but it won't include streaming video or replays. While we do know that people will like to look at replays on their phone, and there are some people who like to stream certain amounts of video in the game, the vast majority of our fans want to watch the game on the field, watch the replays on the jumbo, and participate in the event more than they want to be checking their phone. And so while we could have made some of that available, it might have impacted the ability of the majority of the fans to be able to stay connected to the social media, Facebook, and that kind of thing.
Well, right there. She says most people want to watch the game. Well, if most people want to watch the game, then why are they needing to block the streaming because there isn't enough bandwidth? I don't understand that. I think it's simply a way of protecting the agreements they have in place with people who are allowed to make this content available. I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, whatever. And there you go. But if most people want to watch the game, but they don't have enough bandwidth for everybody to be using their phones.
Well, maybe a lot of people like to do the Twitter, and they want to talk and say everything.
I never understood on Twitter why they want to do that.
I'm sorry?
I never understood why they want to do a Twitter.
Well, I mean, if you're at the Super Bowl and you want to tweet it out, yeah, think about it. Just slow down, sit down, and just think. Just give it some good hard thought, and I'm sure you'll agree that after you think about it, you'll agree that you're going to sit down at the Super Bowl and you're going to sit down and think about just exactly where you are. And I'm sure you would agree then, you know, if you
Yeah, we got that you've already thought about it, and you're going to agree to what?
Well, you'll agree that you're at a very big event, and you're going to want to tweet it out, okay?
Yeah, I know they want to tweet it out, but are they constantly, what are they tweeting out?
That they're at the Super Bowl. They're telling people, look where I am, and look at how cool it is. Look at this, man. I don't go to no Super Bowl every day. Yeah, they don't have no Super Bowl every day.
No, they don't have the Super Bowl every day, and I think you're right. And people, obviously, who are at the game want to let everybody that they know it, and they do want to send some photographs. And I think they're not talking about pictures, right, Steve?
I don't think. They say streaming video. Is that the same as taking a picture?
No, that's not the same. So you can take individual photographs while you're sitting in the stands.
That's what I'm hearing.
I would say that's correct, yeah.
Well, Steve, this is General Shaw. You don't understand what streaming video is?
Yeah, no, yes, I do, but I just don't know all the things that the rest of you were saying about it.
Well, here is the point. If you can take still photographs, which it sounds like you can, then you'll be able to send those or tweet those or whatever you call it. It's the video. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah, it's the streaming video. That does take a lot of bandwidth. It takes a lot of everything. It takes a lot of battery. It takes, I mean, you better be bringing with you a pretty significant battery pack to the ball game to be able to use your cell phone for any length of time, because that sucker's going to be out of juice, man, by halftime. So taking those still pictures, fantastic. Tweeting, fantastic. I don't think anybody is saying anything here against any of that. They're simply saying as far as the streaming of video goes, you can't do it.
Right. Well, we'll be there, and we won't be there. And we're the first, we're the first commentators of the Super Bowl to ever say, join us, we won't be there. And I wanted to make a big thing out of that, but Dickman said it was lame. You know?
But I just didn't think it was a big deal.
And I wanted to say, join us, won't you? We won't be there. I'm Steve Bozell, and he's Bud Dickman, and we're not going to be there. So please be with us when we won't be there.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay.
Right, well, I'm getting the picture. It sucks, you know.
I didn't say it sucks.
Well, I'll tell you, you need to concentrate more on the game. You and Dickman If I could make a comment.
Yeah, go ahead, General.
Well, you sound a little resentful.
Well, you're a general. I'm not allowed to say.
What's wrong?
I'm not allowed to say I don't want to hear from the guy.
Well, I won't say anything if you don't want me to say anything. I was going to say that when Dickman cut that fart and you made a big deal out of it, that was ridiculous. You should have kept your mouth shut, but I won't say anything about it.
Okay, you didn't say anything about it. Thank you. Wow.
What fart are we talking about, okay?
Yeah, Dickman, you know, it was a couple of weeks. It was before the season ended, and it was, I think, a Philly game or a Dallas.
We were eating Fritos. Yeah, we ate Fritos. We ate barbecue Fritos.
Yeah, and he let one go, and I went, I couldn't help it. I had to say something about it.
Well, to me, that was a distracting and juvenile thing, and completely poisoned the atmosphere for me. I was enjoying the game until Dickman farted.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Well, not because I couldn't smell it. I'm talking about you.
Why do you blame me for that?
Okay, let me jump in here. Steve, it's ordinarily the case in a broadcast, no matter what is going on, from a personal standpoint, you don't mention it. You don't say anything about it. You let the fans enjoy the game. You let the fans or the listeners or the viewers enjoy why they came to the radio or the television to watch this event, to hear you describe it, to be a part of something other than whether Dickman farted or you have a problem or anything, you know?
I understand that, Mr. Hendry, and I know that that's what the way the professional is supposed to be. But you had to have been there. It was bad. God, it was bad.
Okay, so it was bad. You still got to be a professional about it.
Well, yeah, listen to you. God, man.
All right. So it'll be Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman on Sunday for the Super Bowl. It's the Denver Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks. Steve, who do you like?
Well, I think at first blush you want to go with Peyton Manning and you want to go with the Denver Broncos because there's a certain amount of destiny there. There's a certain amount of experience. I think that... I do admire Peyton Manning, but the other thing is that Peyton Manning's thrown some pretty devastating interceptions in big games. He did it last year, did it the year before, did it in the Super Bowl, against the New Orleans Saints. Is he going to do it again? I don't know. You're facing a pretty good pass rush the Seattle Seahawks have got. I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one.
Bud, what do you think?
Well, I was going to go with the Seahawks, but he's copying me.
I'm not copying you, man. Go ahead and give your analysis, man, if you want to go with the Seahawks.
I was going to give the same analysis.
And what was that?
I think that Peyton Manning is going to be that he's not good.
I didn't say that, man. What I say specifically.
What?
What did I say specifically?
Specifically? You sound like the fat man that was at the Casey Anthony trial.
Will you guys just get this thing said?
I think...
What fat man?
You sound like that guy, the...
Come on. We're burning daylight.
I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos because I believe in Peyton Manning. I think he's learned from his mistakes because Bozell's going with the Seahawks.
Oh, great, man. Now you're going to lose for sure. You're going against me just because you don't like what I'm saying, so you're going to go with a team that you don't believe in.
I believe in a Denver Bronco.
No, you don't. You just said that you... God.
All right, so you're taking Seattle... And, Bud, you're just going with Denver because you don't want to join Steve in his pick.
No, I don't. Not especially after he said I cut one.
Well, you did, man, so.
All right, Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman, thanks so much. We'll see you guys on Sunday for the game. It'll be on Phil TV in HD. Our commentary of that with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman beginning at game time at 3:30. Thanks a lot, Steve. All right, we'll be coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show a little bit more commentary on the president's State of the Union address, and there was a young man there in the State of the Union address, a young man sitting with Mrs. Obama, the First Lady, and he obviously had suffered some grievous wound. He was wearing an Army uniform, so I'm making the further assumption that he suffered this wound in combat. And what was his name, General?
Well, you're talking about the young man, Corey Remsburg.
That's it, yeah.
Corey Remsburg was introduced. He was an Army Ranger and met the president on Omaha Beach in France in 2009 during a 65th anniversary celebration. And quite the young man. We can give you a little more information if you want during the break.
I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it on the air because it's not fodder for a radio show. I would just recommend that people go and read up on Corey and read his story And that was, if you were wondering, that was the young man that was there in the gallery there with Mrs. Obama during the president's speech. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And don't forget that with the TuneIn app, you can listen to our show live, 7 to 10 on the Pacific Coast, man. So in other words, if you are, of a mind to listen to the show live and not on demand, you can hear it on TuneIn. Go to the Phil Hendry channel on TuneIn at 7 o'clock Pacific and hear the show. Be right back.
Beverly Hills. I want to talk about the Obama State of the Union address and Al Sharpton, who I like, but he's bothering me.
Here I can. I'd like to say something.
No.
Hold on, everybody. Just hold the phone here. I don't want to hear any kind of an argument. Ted Bell is joining us. You know, Margaret, I said that Ted could come on. And he could make a couple of comments. You can make your statement, too.
Because Al Sharpton made a comment today that I thought was very accurate. And, Ted, you are going to go on and say it isn't true.
No, I'm not going to say it isn't true. Why do I have to deal with her? I was told I'd be able to make these statements.
You're dealing with me because I believe in truth.
I believe in truth, too. He said that Ronald Reagan used 213 executive orders in his first term. And it's true, yes, he did, but he's Ronald Reagan. Barack Obama using 147 executive actions in his first term is Barack Obama. Is there a difference? A little bit, you know.
And that's racist, too.
Oh, God.
You know, you're not really acquitting yourself very well, Ted, for a guy who owns a restaurant who is actually sponsoring this segment.
Why do you say that?
Because you're going, oh!
Yeah, you sound like a woman when you did that.
Is that right? Did I sound like a woman? Do you want to know what a little girl sounds like? When I get over to the studio tonight and I get out of my car and I'm...
Okay, this is why when we have these conversations regarding politics with some of the more polarized people on our panel, it never works out all right. Now, Ted wants to make this statement. You heard Al Sharpton say what?
Al Sharpton on that TV show, if you can call it that he does on MCBBBB, whatever the hell the name of that thing is.
It's MSNBC, you know full well, Ted.
All right, MSNBC. He said that Ronald Reagan was an imperial president because they were talking about Obama and Mark Levin, who I think is a wonderful... I like Mark Levin, and Mark Levin paid you a compliment, Phil. At the Talkers Convention in New York a number of years ago.
Yeah, well, we were talking out on the street. It was a professional conversation.
All right. What do you think of him?
I think Mark is a nice guy. Politically, I don't agree with him. I'm not going to get into a discussion. What did he say?
Mark Levin said it's a coup, that Obama is operating this government like it's a coup.
Oh, my God. That is the stupidest thing, and I would expect it of Mark Levin. When he talks about these executive orders... Barack Obama has used 147...
Oh, yeah, here we go again with this lie.
Well, why do you call it a lie? Why do you say that's a lie? I mean, that's a number that can be looked up pretty easy. 147 executive decisions. Ronald Reagan, how many?
213. Excuse me, 213, Ted. Read it and weep.
Read it and weep. Oh, well, read it and weep. So, 213.
Are you saying that number is not right?
I'm saying the number is right, but I'm saying that the number is right for a guy whose name was Ronald Reagan, okay? Ronald Reagan, and it wasn't Barack Obama, and I think there's a difference.
All right, well, the difference is in your mind that Ronald Reagan is just all that. Ronald Reagan is a legend, and Barack Obama isn't. Even if I agreed with you, Ted, it still doesn't matter. The man used far more executive decisions.
All right, well, I think what Ted's saying, though, is, if I may, Ted...
Go ahead.
...is that Ronald Reagan is you judge him from a different standard. Ronald Reagan was dealing with a Congress that was so, so bad.
And Obama is not. You're saying this Congress is a good one.
I think this is a very responsible Congress.
Well, now hold on, because now what we have here is completely just opposing points of view. You say this Congress is responsible, but the Congress that Ronald Reagan was dealing with wasn't, and that's because of your political ideology. So for you to say that Ronald Reagan used those executive decisions and those executive orders far more intelligently and judiciously is simply a matter of opinion based upon your ideology.
Well, you know what? And that's the way it comes down. But I'm not going to have anybody say that you compare Barack Obama. You don't compare Barack Obama to Ronald Reagan. You don't do that. You know, oftentimes I say on the radio show that I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. And that's how I feel. I heard Dr. Ron Turner say that. And I think Ronald Reagan could say the same thing as a president. He's a volcano surrounded by ants. He is the volcano president, and all the other presidents were ants.
Well, that's an asinine thing to say.
Well, I think in some ways it's very true.
Well, because of your ideological slant, Ted, you can't see this very fairly, and so you're going to say all of these demeaning things about a president. But the numbers don't lie.
The numbers don't lie, but the numbers do lie if you don't take into consideration the guy that the numbers ain't lying about.
Ronald Reagan had every right to use his 213 executive decisions, but Barack Obama did not have the right to use his 147.
I'm not saying Barack Obama doesn't have the right to use some of those. But I am saying that if you take Reagan 213 executive decisions, you know, it's just good. It's just good.
Well, thanks a lot for your very unbiased and objective and clear-eyed appraisal of those two presidencies.
I know that it doesn't sound fair, and I know that I don't sound like I am being clear-eyed and objective. I know it sounds like I'm just, you know, like that puppy dog you said that Boehner was, or somebody that they said Boehner was with Obama, like going, waiting at the bull. Well, if that's the way I sound about Ronald Reagan, forgive me. But that's how much I admired the man.
Yes, but you cannot have an objective conversation about it.
All right, so I'm not having an objective. If I'm sitting there going, and there's a bowl of water.
Yeah, but you do that pretty good.
I beg your pardon?
I said you do that pretty good, going all...
What the hell was that, man? Is that a human? Is that guy you got working for you?
What is the point here, Ted? You're saying that you are very much enamored of the dog of Ronald Reagan.
I didn't say it. What did you say? I didn't say anything about being someone's dog.
Yeah, you did. You're sitting there going like that.
I didn't go I said, you make me sound like that guy Blacktooth on that Soupy Sales show. I said that I admire the man.
Yeah, but you said that because of Boehner going, forget it.
Would you idiots learn how to do a dog sound effect?
Yeah, you're going, I didn't say that at all. I went, that's how a dog sounds. He doesn't sound, the way you do it, you make it sound like it's a dog that's got, well, you know, a dog that's choking on something, if you'll pardon the expression.
All right, I'm back. I went to the bathroom. I got cottage cheese. I got a vanilla wafer. I even took one of your cigars, Margaret. Forgive me. Hoping against hope that this conversation would be over, and it's still going on.
Yeah, well, I love the general, too.
Well, I'm sorry, General, but I feel I have the right to say what I say. I know that you admired Ronald Reagan.
I admired Ronald Reagan very much. I thought he was a great president. But I think you, Ted, talking about being Ronald Reagan's dog and saying that Boehner was Obama's dog, I think you're doing a great disservice to a great president and the dog and you people with the dog.
What?
You're doing dog breath.
No, we were trying to.
No, I know what you were trying to do.
Did you hear him, General? They're going, I said that Boehner.
I heard what you said. And while you might have approximated the sound of a dog better than Mr. Henry or Mr. Dykman here, or Dickman, all three of you really sound like you ought to be handcuffed to the short bus with a bicycle helmet on each of you, a hot dog in one hand, and the wiener in the other.
Oh, man, did you hear what he just said?
No, he's talking about the hot dog wiener.
No, are you going to step in, Henry?
Thanks a lot, Ted.
Are you stepping in?
All right. Thank you very much. That's of all the conversations we've had on this program, that one went nowhere faster than any other. And that whole comment, General, about the hot dog and the wiener.
Well, what was wrong with it?
That's very, very unkind.
General, we've had a lot of comments on this program about mentally deficient people. We don't need you adding to the pain.
Well, is that the cottage cheese you guys got?
Yeah.
Well, why is it on a plate?
We couldn't find any clean bowls.
What is it with you guys and cottage cheese? You know, you're gonna weigh 800 pounds, bud.
Uh-uh, cottage cheese good for you.
It's good for you, yes, but it's loaded with fat, man. It's fat. What?
But it's supposed to be fat-free.
If it says fat-free, it's fat-free. Does it say fat-free?
No.
Then it ain't fat-free, man.
Cottage cheese got to say it's fat-free.
Cottage cheese is not fat-free unless it says it. Just because it's cottage cheese doesn't mean it's fat-free.
Did you get fat-free cottage cheese?
I already asked him that. He said no.
Uh-uh. So you're saying a guy's gonna waddle on out of here on a cottage cheese?
You could be waddling out, yes. Cottage cheese can make you fat. Don't worry about it. All right, the Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. Our online store is open for all of your needs, whether they're ball caps, whether they are sweatshirts, whether they are T-shirts, whether they are CDs, whether they are keychains, whether they are shot glasses, whether they're anything. Go to the Phil Henry online store at philhenryshow.com and pick up something. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and that reminds us, of course, to tell you about a special that we're offering on our website, and I think it's kind of cool, and that is a free year of backstage pass access, and that's a full access free year from the Phil Henry Show if you purchase a subscription. So if you buy a year of backstage pass access, you get another year completely free. That's right, and we're doing this through Valentine's Day. So all annual backstage pass signups in between today and February the 15th,
That's a day after.
I understand. Today and February the 15th, we'll get a free gift subscription for 1 year of backstage pass access. So why not give yourself a little something this Valentine's Day and then give the other year to someone you love? Buy yourself a backstage pass and get a free backstage pass for a year for your Valentine. It's available at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. So just a little something that we like to every now and again roll out for our friends and neighbors. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show in just a moment. Show, philhenryshow.com. Yes. With the Super Bowl coming up here on Phil TV on Sunday, not the game, but our commentary, and I say our commentary, Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell. All right. What the hell's going on here, man? I'm trying to get stuff printed off.
Yeah, things are wrong.
Well, then fix it, man. This blat, I wanted to say bloody and blasted, and it came out blatty.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
It's weird, all right. I wanted to print off one story about... See, here is what I want to read to folks, this story of Corey Remsburg. We also have the White House tech titans. See, one of the things that most people don't care about, this will come as a shock, but it's absolute stone-cold truth. One of the things that the rank and file of Americans don't care about is the NSA story. You want me to repeat it? I'll repeat it. They don't. Now, yes, people who live, breathe, eat, and crap politics and Obama hate or Obama love or Obama do or Obama don't, those people, yeah, they live, breathe, eat, and crap this stuff, and they're hanging on every single damn word that comes out of the NSA and this jackass Snowden and the rest of them. And rightfully so, people gave me a whole bunch of crap the other night for calling him Eric and not Edward. I don't know. I don't care. I do, out of respect for my listeners, though, use the proper name, Eric. I'm joking, Edward, I know. All right. However, we thought we would pull, if you'll pardon the expression, the story on the White House tech titans reaching an agreement on surveillance disclosures. The Obama administration has reached an agreement with a group of technology companies on disclosing requests for customer data in the cloud. But the agreement, and by cloud, you know, that's the cloud where you keep all of your reserve of things. It's not on the hardware. It's not on the phone. It's not on the computer. It's in the cloud.
And the cloud is?
Digital memory stored elsewhere other than your component. It's stored with Apple, in the case of my iPhone, in Apple's large memory bank. I guess I probably sound pretty stupid, don't I?
Well, I think you do, because there you go.
No, it is the storage facility. It is where data is stored. It could be Apple's company. It might be another one that they contract with. I doubt it. It's probably something that they own. The companies, including Facebook, Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo, will now be allowed to publish information about the number of foreign intelligence surveillance court orders they receive for customer data. They'll also be able to reveal more about national security letters, NSLs, the secrecy of which was weakened by the USA Patriot Improvement and Reauthorization Act in 2006. Which was not secret, which was voted on publicly by the Congress, which was signed into law publicly by a president, which was re-endorsed by another president. There's nothing secret going on here, folks. The only thing that probably was a secret to the American people was just how thick they were when it came to a lot of this stuff. If that makes people feel bad, if it makes people feel offended, if they think I'm a bad guy for saying it, I'm sorry, but that's the facts, Jack. Unlike Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA warrants, NSLs can only request metadata such as phone numbers, dialed or email addresses communicated with. That is an NSL as opposed to the warrant that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act would issue. Since NSA leaker Edward Snowden revealed the PRISM program, which gives the NSA and the FBI access to data of cloud providers' customers under a sweeping FISA warrant technology, companies have pressed the government for permission to share more information about disclosures in an attempt to reassure customers about their privacy. Do you understand that nothing here is saying that they cannot ask for this data? Nothing here is saying that they don't have access to the data. What they're talking about is letting you and I know when the data is being requested. That's, you know, I wish people understood that a little bit better as to what's going on. Nothing has changed other than the fact that you will now know that the NSA is making all of these requests for data. Now, the really active users and the really, very passionate and active online users of Facebook and other, whether they're social media sites or any other site, while those people will be very, very aware of that, and then
that's it. You know, I'm leaving Facebook. I don't know if anybody cares. I'm leaving now because the NSA has requested all of this stuff, and I don't know about you people. You're idiots. You know how this stuff plays out, and no one cares. Nobody cares. No one's interested at all. You go ahead, you leave Facebook because they don't give a damn, man. You know, people quit Facebook and Twitter all the time thinking that they've made a big statement and everyone's going to follow them out of there, and people forget about them within 5 seconds. They don't give a crap. As far as the NSA or any other security agency requesting information from Facebook or Google, you don't know whether it's about you. You will know, at least according to this agreement, you will know more about how often they're requesting this information. You won't know whether it's about you. You won't know whether it's about your friends. You'll just know that there have been a certain number of warrants, as they call them, or requests, as they call them, for this information. But request it, they will. Get it, they will. Read it, share it. It's all good, man. You know, that's the Patriot Act. In other words, in theory, if Google got 150 FISA orders, again, FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court order, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court order, if they got 150 and 200 national security letters, which are requests for email addresses dialed or phone numbers dialed or email addresses communicated with, the company could reveal that it had received over 250 requests from the government. Or the company could optionally say that it received under 1,000 FISA orders and under 1,000 NSLs. That's as specific as they're going to get. The agreement led Microsoft, Google, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Yahoo to drop their lawsuits against the government over disclosure rights. We filed our lawsuits because we believe that the public has a right to know about the volume and type of national security requests we received, the company said in a joint statement. We're pleased the Department of Justice has agreed that we and other providers can disclose the information. Well, You're disclosing it in a very vague way, in a very general way, and that's cool, you know. But you're going to have people bitching and bellyaching and saying that you're working hand-in-hand with the government, and on and on and on it goes.
So they can still request this information?
Yeah, they're going to still request the information. There's nothing saying that they can't request the information. Of course they're going to still request it. And here's the big thing. You're going to be able, you're going to know that they have requested it to the tune of over 250 or under 1,000. There, that's all you need to know there, Mr. and Mrs. America. Okay? So Edward Snowden is sitting on his ass in Moscow right now, eating all that real thin soup and braving the winter winds and sitting down with some bad breath general in a fur hat and toasting with vodka as he says, "Good to have you here." And he's going through all of that so that now you know over 250 but under 1,000 requests have been made for your information from the NSA. And I'm not saying that I mind that at all. I think it's pretty funny. I'm laughing my ass off if you really want to know the honest truth. I am. I'm laughing my ass off at the fact that this guy, tried to be a big hero, and what he got was, you know, run out of... He's out in Russia right now, sitting on his dead ass. For what, man? He's still going to get your information. Just, you know, now it's just, they let you know whether it's over 250 requests or under 1,000. Phil Henry Show, be right back.
If I stay too long, people try to pull me down. They talk about me.